The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Ready, Set, Spill. I'm Lindsay Carter, the founder and CEO of Set Active, a new mother and the host of Ready, Set, Spill. Okay, so I always start my podcast with an icebreaker, and I want to know what's a thought that lives rent-free in your head.
This is going to be a cheesy one, but I don't care. Just basically anything that has to do with gratitude. Like, I feel like anytime I hear someone speaking about gratitude practices and starting your day off with gratitude, it just makes such a difference. And it's so cheesy. And I feel like so many people are anti-journaling or doing the 5-minute journal. But whenever I'm in a bad headspace and I wake up and I journal and I say all these things that I get to do for the day, it just shifts your mindset so much. I know that's not a fun one, but
no, I think it's helpful for anyone who listens. I mean, I'm trying to think of what a thought that lives rent-free in my head is. That's a hard question to answer. So now it's like putting myself in the hot seat. I would say that like Ryan Reynolds is the hottest man alive. That's like a thought that lives rent-free in my head.
Like if I think of a more fun one, I'll...
My husband very much knows my celebrity crush on him. I'm actually just obsessed with both Ryan and Blake, and he thinks I'm psychotic, but it's okay.
No, they're so hot and so cute.
Okay, so we did record once before. We had some technical issues, so we are recording again.
And I need to also say, like, last time we recorded, I had like something horrible happen to Orium, like 2 minutes before we recorded. So I feel like I was just so off. And that's why I was like, okay, I know it's the most ridiculous thing to ask you to just fully re-record, but I was just in a really bad headspace. We had like a massive issue, like production issue.
I know that all too well. I get it. And since I talked to you last, you went to New York Fashion Week, and something that we wrote down just as like a fast fact is you attended 20 plus events. And I'm laughing because I'm like, how did you do that?
Wait, also, I didn't even story from every single event that I went to.
I just like, you have to tell me, do you get into like a mindset before you go to New York Fashion Week? Because just reading the sentence that you attended 20 plus during the week, I'm all of a sudden exhausted.
Well, and wait, also to note on that, this Friday, I'm going back to New York to shoot a collab for Orium, and then I'm heading straight to Paris, and then back to Miami, and then back to New York.
I don't know if it's because I'm pregnant and everything seems exhausting, but I mean, that is, go you.
No, so I'm actually really glad you asked that, because after Fashion Week, I definitely had to sit back and kind of reflect on what it is I have going on and what it is that I'm doing. And attending a lot of events is great because I get to see so many friends in the industry. I have so many influencer friends, and it's great to connect with them and great to connect with the brands. And I genuinely also love like getting dressed up and wearing cool outfits. Yeah. That's something that I really am passionate about. But in my head, this was kind of like my last hurrah of doing that many things, because I think for me, the last few months really have been focusing much more on Orium. And I think I haven't been able to let go of certain things as a quote unquote influencer, because there's certain goals I haven't hit as an influencer. So it's been hard for me to like completely make that shift.
Yeah.
And I think it all goes hand in hand, because obviously like when I get to see my influencer friends, they're very supportive of Orium. So getting to see those girls and getting to talk to them is super helpful for them, you know, supporting Orium. And then also like, I think I've been able to leverage so many of my brand partners for Orium. Mm-hmm. So it does kind of all go hand in hand. But yes, I think now that I live in Miami and I've never really going to events and I'm literally just sitting in my house and work, that during New York Fashion Week, it wasn't that crazy for me to just like pump it all out in like a 1-week time span and then go back to like living life in my closet office all day long.
That makes sense. I wish I had the energy to. I like have the worst social anxiety, so I feel like New York Fashion Week sounds like my personal hell. But for anyone who is able to do it, I like envy that because it looks like so much fun. I'm friends with Emma, who I know you're friends with too. She went and she was like, she was saying basically like she has to prep herself weeks before to just get into the mindset that it's going to be chaotic. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be a lot of socializing. And because she like preps her mind to get into that like mindset, it makes it so much fun, and she like mentally prepares for it. So I thought that was interesting. So for everyone who doesn't know who Cass is, she co-owns a jewelry brand with her husband. Now he's your husband.
Whoa. Yes.
And sorry, real fast. You met him at Coachella, right?
Yes, which is hilarious. We met at Neon Carnival.
That's
at
crazy.
4 in the morning.
That is so wild.
So wild.
I couldn't imagine meeting my husband at a music festival, but it works for you guys, and I support it. And he seems great. I've never met him, but he seems great. So you guys started a jewelry company called Orium. Can you kind of cliff note for my listeners, like, who you are, what you were doing before you started, what made you decide to start, and then we'll get into what Orium is.
Okay, yes. So I have always been a very fashion obsessed girl my entire life. I always wanted to be a buyer growing up, and I went to college for fashion merchandising and business, and then I interned as a buyer and then became a buyer once I graduated college. And I was working as an assistant buyer for a department store, and I loved my job, and then I kind of started to really want to transition into a more fashion forward company. Like, I think working for a department store was a great experience because it's super structured, very corporate. So I'm glad that I got that experience. But my dream was to work as a buyer for Intermix or Revolve or Shopbop, someone much more fashion forward. So basically, back then, I felt like the only way to really show my fashion taste and, you know, kind of my personal style and my personal take on things was to start a blog. So I kind of started posting my outfits online, and it was always just something I did to hopefully land a job, a better job. And then it got to a point where my blogging and working on my personal brand started to really take off. And I was doing a lot of product development at the department store. And I felt like, okay, if I maybe become an influencer full time, I can maybe one day launch my own brand. My end goal was never really to become an influencer. My end goal was to always start a brand or start a company or do something else. I wanted, and I knew that that was a great way to kind of start having, if I had my own platform, it would maybe make it easier to start my own brand. So in 2017, I ended up quitting my job to become an influencer full time. And then in 2019 is when I started my brand with my husband.
And what was the inspiration behind it? Like, why jewelry?
So at the time, we started the brand together at the same time. Like, he didn't just like come in after the fact. And we were kind of just figuring out which category we wanted to be in. And at first we were almost going to do something where we're going to launch like unisex elevated basics. And then we ended up landing on jewelry because I felt like there was a white space in the market at the time for very fashion forward, elevated, like bold statement jewelry that still was at a more accessible price point. So we kind of like went all in on these gold chains. We launched with 8 chains and really just had a very specific aesthetic and brand that we had in mind for Orium. And then that's kind of how Orium was born. And then it obviously evolved a lot now from when we started.
So I feel like you saw a gap in the jewelry world. And I personally feel like the jewelry world is super saturated. So how did you differentiate your brand? And then how did you decide to like stay ahead of designs and making sure that like you're doing things differently from other brands? And Walk me through that.
I mean, I think every market at this point is extremely saturated.
Of course.
But in terms of jewelry, I felt like at the time when we first launched, there wasn't a brand that I felt like was speaking to me when it came to jewelry. And even if they did speak to me, I felt like the quality was really bad. So I think there's still so much education to be done around jewelry and how the quality is much different. And there is a range of quality. And usually if something is significantly cheaper, it is because it's made cheaper and it's made out of cheaper materials. So I think that now where Orium kind of sits in my brain, and I think to our customers, is we've really honed in on this very unique vintage inspired, like bold pieces. They're supposed to be very unique and fun. And anytime we've ever tried to experiment and play in like the dainty chains or dainty this, like that's never really worked for us, because I think that's literally what every brand is doing. I feel like I do see so many jewelry brands and they do look pretty similar, but I feel like for us are very like statement unique pieces. And we also plate everything in 24 karat gold. So if you were to see in person, like our jewelry compared to like 99% of jewelry brands, our jewelry is like very deep, rich gold. So it like really stands out compared to a lot of jewelry brands. I think like a lot of jewelry brands who have 14 karat gold solid, they can almost look like silver. So it's our pieces are meant to be very bold, very rich, very unique, and just kind of for that girl who likes to really have fun with her accessories and show her personality through that. I think like people have asked me if I think I'm going to end up going into diamonds or things like that. And obviously I get the appeal for diamonds. Who doesn't love diamonds? But I think when I see a girl who's just drenched in diamonds, I don't think her style is really coming across. Like, I don't think it looks very unique. Whereas I feel like if you're wearing a lot of Orium pieces or jewelry, vintage jewelry pieces, it's so much more like so much more character to it and so much more interesting, at least in my opinion. And I never want to be the type of person who's just wearing a ton of jewelry just to like come across a certain way. I love to wear jewelry to like really express my personality.
I love that. If there's anything that I've learned in business, it's never say never. I remember
I know.
I like told my community, specifically my followers, like one of our like number one requests was to come out with yoga pants or activewear pants with pockets. And I was like, that's just never going to be me. Like, I'll leave that to the other brands. Yet next year we have pants with pockets coming.
There you go.
But it's because next year is like the first time that we, you know, came up with the campaigns and the creative and designed product to fit that rather than had the product and then came up with the campaigns. So it makes sense for the drop, which is why I'm doing it. But everyone is holding me to it. They're like, you said you would never do that. And I was like, okay, learn my lesson.
No, I totally get it. I actually, when we were making sunglasses with Tezza, I was like, no, we're not making a silver pair. Like Orium is gold, gold only. And then this summer when I saw her, I was like, wait, I'm so into silver. It's all about the silver. And she was making fun of me so much But yeah, so I'm sure one day we'll be making solid pieces, but I always want to be playing in that niche of like more fun.
Totally. Do what works for you for right now. And then when you need to change it, you'll change it and you'll know when it's like time to do that. What has been like the hardest part of owning your own business so far that you didn't expect?
So we kind of touched on this last time, but it definitely has been growing a team. Mm-hmm. I think most people can't even fathom how much Matt and I are actually the ones doing everything. And it's been very challenging for us to find the right people to hire, how to structure our business and figure out what we need. I almost feel like those first few hires are almost the hardest.
Yeah.
Because it's very hard to bring people on and then expect them to kind of be doing everything, because Matt and I do everything. So it's hard to expect someone to be kind of like a jack of all trades and have multiple different skill sets. So I think these first few hires have been very difficult for us, and figuring out how to break up the company and what should be delegated. It's been extremely difficult for me to delegate and to ever give up control of certain things. And I never expected that from myself. And I never expected to have that be such an issue where I feel like I want a big team, but I don't even know how to actually give up control.
I feel like I can help you so much in that area. We now have 30 employees, and you know, I started with just one. So I will say the biggest lesson I ever learned was hiring the right talent. We had someone who I think lasted like not even 8 weeks because she just wasn't right for the role. And it was super clear. And like, to be able to separate your emotion for like, you know, human feelings and have to let someone go is obviously not easy to do. But if they're creating more work for other people in the company, it's going to be like completely evident very fast. And you have to put the company first. Whereas on the flip side, I've waited 4.5 years for this person. I personally like fought for her, our new director of social media, and she's not even completed with week two. And I'm already blown away by how her brain works. And I'm like, the wait was worth it. So it's really honing in and focusing on finding the right talent for your business and making sure that, you know, they're not saying more than they can do and they're not catfishing their resume and sending projects out so you can see how their brain works creatively and like making sure it's aligned with your vision. And there's so much that goes into it that I did not know before starting a business that I would definitely say like really put all of your energy into making sure the person's right for the role.
Yeah, we've definitely learned that with we've gone through like hiring and firing almost 3 or 4 people this year, and which is really difficult. Like, and it's such a waste of time and energy. And it's like, I also think it's been hard for us to just figure out what our first few hires should be. Like, what were your first like 4 or 5 hires?
Do you want to start a company but have no idea where to begin? Or do you have dreams of becoming an influencer? Well, the Life with Marianna podcast is here to help. I'm Marianna Hewitt, a Los Angeles-based influencer and co-founder of the clean skincare line, Summer Fridays. Each Tuesday, I'm talking to my friends from business owners, wellness experts, and more to share all of their best advice for you to live your best life. Make sure to tune in and subscribe to my podcast and follow me on Instagram at Marianna_Hewitt to see what's coming up each week so you don't miss an episode.
So I first started with Nikki Shea, she started as an intern, kind of just like my right hand. Like, I needed her to answer customer service emails, she was on it. I needed her to help me with, you know, posting on social media, she was on it. Just like the really basic things, because that's back then I was doing a lot of the creative. And so I just needed her to execute it. And then I started to see her strengths. I really paid attention to what she was good at, and she was really good at customer service. And that was just her demeanor as a person. She was calm. She's patient. She didn't take things personally. Whereas like someone said something mean on Instagram when we were first starting, and I'm like about to go for a beat down. And I was like, no, I can't be on customer service. That's not going to work for me. So I quickly realized that she had to be, you know, handling a lot of the customer service. So I was like, okay, great. That's something that I don't have to handle. And then I hired a graphic designer. I thought that was really important because what we were showing was we needed help like telling that story on social media, because that was my first point of marketing, that I felt that was the next important hire. And it was, because she helped visually tell the story that I was trying to tell with all of our drops and colors. And quickly realized that, like, I mean, this is different than jewelry, but when you shoot colors, like just how movies have someone who colors movies before it goes on the big screen, like you have to color correct clothing. You have to color correct
jewelry clothes. Is kind of like that too. That's why I am the photographer now for literally everything, because our pieces are such a unique color gold that if someone doesn't get it right perfectly, it doesn't reflect like our pieces. So I get that.
It's so hard. And then I would say I hired an operations person next, because I learned one of the best pieces like the best piece of advice I ever received from anyone who's wiser than me was hire for your weakness. And my weakness is operations. Like, I don't do well with numbers. I don't do well with budgets. My strong suit is creative and strategy. And so that was my next hire, which offloaded a lot of the stressful stuff on my plate that I couldn't tell her how to do her job because I didn't know how to do her job. So that was really helpful. And then it was about building. So now everything's like, we have an art director who helps make sure that whatever I'm coming up with creatively is getting executed visually. And then she manages our whole graphic design team. And then we have our social media teams, operations team, production team. Then we have our brand team. And that's where it gets like a little cloudy is what is brand? Because it's such a new role in this time of like careers. Like being a chief brand officer or brand director or brand manager wasn't really so much a thing years ago. It was really marketing. And now we're hiring for a growth marketer. So things start to like break down once you start delegating. And I say that because when you delegate, you start to see where you need to fill the holes. And I know that's the hardest part is delegating, but it helps you realize like, okay, this is not what I'm good at. I need to find someone who's stronger than me at this. And there is someone who's stronger at this than me. And I need to find that person. I need to hire them. So delegating, yeah. You're starting to like figure out what, you know, you can't be good at everything. So there has to be stuff that you're not amazing at. And then that's where you should start your hires.
Yeah. I think also since Matt and I are both like tackling polar opposite ends of the business, we're trying to possibly hire someone like under me and then under him so that it kind of, we both have the support that we need for each of our ends. And we did like this massive exercise the other day where we wrote out like a dream org chart for the next like year or two. And then this way we can like start to work backwards and start like plugging in the people and figuring out what the priorities are of what we need.
Totally. I mean, it's going to be different for every company depending on what your goals are too, of course. But I think that's like, it's almost like a vision board and those people will fall into place. And don't be afraid to poach people. I fought for this director of social media. Like when I say I fought, I've never fought so hard for someone in my life. And we got her and I'm like,
wait, I'm curious to know who it is.
I don't know if you would know, but of course I'm going to like air everything about her. So if anyone's listening and you try to poach her, I swear to God, I will come for you. That's my official threat because I'm obsessed with her. But her name is Casey. She was pretty high up at social media at Baze. And normally, like if a recruiter sent through Casey's resume and it said Baze on there, nothing against Baze, but I wouldn't have been like, oh my God, I need to interview her because Baze does their Instagram and their social so different than SetActive that I wouldn't have had any interest in, you know, interviewing her because Baze isn't a brand that I think of that has a super killer social media, in my personal opinion. Nothing against the brand. Yeah. I totally love what they're doing. And I think Shay Mitchell's amazing, but I didn't see the alignment there. And so that's something I would have passed on. Whereas she applied, I think through like our email or something. Basically it was a fluke accident how I saw her project. I was sitting next to Allie, our VP of operations, and she was looking at, I was like, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, I'm just looking at this project. And I was like, maybe I should look. I don't know if my operations person should be like judging a creative project. And I look at the project and I kid you not, jaw was on the floor. I was blown away. I had never seen a project like this where like the person, AKA Casey, clearly understood creative and strategy, which is really hard to find. And I was so excited. And I was like, I felt like I had taken like happy drugs or something.
So funny.
This is what I was looking for. This project is insane. And I can show it to you because she gave me permission finally to share it with my friends because that's all I talk about. And then she like wasn't ready to leave her team. It was a push and pull process. And she like really loved her job. She really loved Shay. She loved Baze. And so she ultimately said no when we offered her the job. And then we tried going back again with other things. And then she said yes, but then she said no again. And then it started to be like an inside like work joke that she was never going to sign the dotted line. And then she was watching one of my lives on Instagram because I go live every day. And she I saw that she had joined, I was like, okay, this is either going to be really creepy or it's not, but I'm going to DM her and ask her, what is it going to take to get her to come work at Set Active? And I did. And she was like, I would love to come see the office. Like, can I just come meet you guys? And I was like, oh my God, we didn't bring people into the office for interviews. So I didn't think to do that. So she came to the office. It just was really great. That night or the next morning, she messaged me back. She's like, I'm going to email Allie, but I did want to let you know that I am accepting the position. I promise for real this time.
Oh my gosh, so funny.
That's how that happened. But that's what I'm like, don't be afraid to like go after the people that you want, that you think are going to make an impact at your brand, because they most likely will. She's on week two and she's already made an impact. So if that tells you anything.
I can't even imagine having that experience, because we haven't had that experience yet. So,
I mean, it's every business is just so different. And that's why I feel like you can ask your friends who are business owners, like what they did, but you have to tailor it personally to you, because you do things so differently, but you have to be okay with giving up control and delegating, which I know is not easy to do. But
we're getting there.
Yeah. I feel the want this time versus last time that like you're ready to do it. Whereas last time you're like, I'm just not ready. But like now I see the shift in your energy, that like you are starting to be like, okay, I'm ready to delegate. And I think it's going to like move mountains for you. So I'm excited.
If anyone needs a job, you know where to find me.
So when we were chatting before, like you're like, I was in a really bad headspace, and you said you had a really big problem that happened with Orium. Can you share like what the problem was and how you guys overcame it? Because I think that's what like people really want to know.
Yeah, of course. So we had a like travertine tray that we were launching, kind of like our first kind of dipping our toes into the home category. And we had actually ordered two different colors. So we ordered the travertine and we ordered this like really beautiful, like black gray, like marble. And we full on are like about to shoot it. And we realized that all of the black marble ones came in completely wrong. Like they just looked so shitty. It looked like, because obviously we were dealing with a new manufacturer. So like, you know, this wasn't someone we have worked with frequently.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a bait and switch situation where we saw a sample, we approved it, and then all of the inventory came in and it was absolutely not what we were planning on, what it was supposed to look like. So we basically had to scrap all of that inventory and just eat the cost of all of that inventory. And it was also very expensive because it's so heavy.
Yeah.
So shipping that was so heavy. And we had all this new boxes and packaging and like foam around it that it comes with, that we was so expensive to ship. So we had to eat the cost for that entire thing. And it was so disappointing. I love how the other ones came out. Those are like beautiful and perfect, but just something went wrong with the other ones. And we kind of just had to like,
it's so crazy because internally I know what that feels like. We had to do that with our swim line that we ultimately produced and lost hundreds of thousands of dollars on. But externally, like watching you launch that catch-all dish, I would have never guessed that you were having production issues. So I think you guys should be like super proud as like a new business, because that's the one thing you need to like be careful of, is making sure that externally the show still goes on. And you guys, like, I would have never, and if you told me to be like, guess what production issue we had, it wouldn't have been that.
Yeah, I think that's something that I feel like why I do well as an entrepreneur is because I have this ability to kind of always move forward and always be positive and moving on to the next thing and being able to kind of swallow it and be okay. Matt is not as good, I would say, at that, probably because he's the one like staring at the numbers. So yeah. I'm like, don't tell me how much that costs, because now I need to do all this creative for it and be excited for this one. So you kind of can't do that to me. But I feel like I definitely should be sharing some more of the complications that happens or the struggles that happen. I think it's so interesting to see. But I think Matt prefers for us to have a more like polished button up appearance. But I think I'm much more of an open book. Like, I think it's fun to kind of share those things. But it's obviously a give or take, because you also don't want to look like a joke of a company that you don't know what's going on.
But when
it's so normal that happens.
Yeah. When it's not in your control, like, you guys aren't the one physically making the catch-all dish. So like, that is something I think, you know, you can share. Or what I do is I use my personal Instagram, not my brand Instagram, to talk about the struggles of being an entrepreneur and the things that happen or the mistakes that happen. And I feel like the community loves that side. And so you get both. Like, you get to see the finished polished product on Set Active, but you really get to see the BTS and the like mistakes that were made and the nitty gritty of everything on my personal Instagram, because that's where, like you, I'm an open book and that's where I post it. But I mean, production is always going to be a shit show. That's like business mistake number 500 that I learned very quickly, is like, production's never going to get it right. So welcome to that side of everything.
Yeah, exactly.
So what does Matt do versus what you do? I'm guessing you're more creative and he's more operational.
Yeah. So Matt is kind of in charge of our finances. He oversees our customer service. He was doing customer service for a long time.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. And during a pandemic, when all of our warehouse was backed up and pre-orders, and he was like, oh my God, these girls are driving me crazy. I was like, that is the first thing we need to hire, because your mental health is in the tubes. Like, I get all these paragraphs of girls ranting about how much they love Oriam while he's getting all the negativity on the customer service.
Poor Matt.
Yeah. So he also handles a lot of the operations. So he's kind of handling the day-to-day of like talking with our manufacturers and reordering things and doing a lot of like the Shopify backend and e-commerce and kind of like some of our business development as well. There's definitely other things I'm forgetting.
Sounds like he handles like everything to keep the operation running, and you handle all the creative, like you're the creative director of the company.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do all of the photos on the Instagram. I handle a lot of the gifting. I upload everything onto our website. Like, I make sure that our photography on our website is always looking great. I'm the model. I'm the photographer. I'm the editor. I'm the creative director. Like, I come up with all of our campaign like themes.
Don't you get creatively burnt out? Like, I am so creatively burnt out that I need like 5 people in the room to conceptualize and bounce ideas off of.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think it's something that I still really love doing. I think because I'm also doing content all the time, that I really love coming up with things. And we do things much differently now. Like, there was a moment where we really spent a lot of money on like photographers and crazy locations that we were renting and spending money on like recognizable faces and certain things like that, that we spent so much money on. And nowadays, I feel like things just move so quickly where, you know, you'll spend so much money on a social campaign. And what does that last? Like a week, one week. And then people kind of start getting bored of that shoot. So now we're kind of in a place, like, obviously, I think as we continue to grow, I would love to be doing shoots with more like models and things like that, like kind of get back to doing that. But for now, I really enjoy doing the photography. It feels more like organic. Totally. I think it's easier to tell a story when it's like me as the model and me kind of going about whatever it is I'm doing and whatever story it is that I'm trying to tell. It just feels much more like less polished. And so we have like just a more low-key approach to doing shoots, and then we can do them so much more often because it's costing us $0.
Totally.
So that's kind of how we switch things up. And I also kind of handle, like, we've been working with wholesale. In talks with a lot of wholesale partners. So obviously from my buying background, I've been kind of handling that. I handle a lot of like our influencer relations.
You tell me you're inspired by me, and here I am like, oh my God, oh my God, you're doing so much. It's time.
So much. It's wild. And my personal brand, like as an influencer, it's a full on business.
So when do you sleep?
I don't, genuinely. I really don't. No, I sleep, but I really like, I'm in this kind of like, I know I'm okay doing it all, because I've just had this new, like the last few months, I've had just this new refresh of feeling so inspired to like grow oriented to what I wanted to be. And I know it's just temporary. So I'm basically like taking on all of these collabs and doing everything for Orium in hopes that, like, you know, Q4 is always everyone's biggest time of the year. So we know that by the end of this year, we're going to have a massive influx of cash and we'll be able to be investing that into like really growing out the team and making like very big decisions about how we're going to be like restructuring everything. So I know there's like a light at the end of the tunnel, but I've just honestly have like had this new found excitement for building Orium. So I'm just like enjoying doing everything to the point where I just like don't even know what I'm going to end up trying to give up because I really enjoy doing everything.
You can still be a part of everything. Like that was my biggest issue too. And I remember being like terrified before I had Ace, my son. I don't know how to say this. Not that the office was going to like forget about me or that they like forget that they like need my creative input, but I was so terrified that I like had a panic attack. I was crying. And like, I know it was my company and I still had to give approvals, but I was like, they're going to figure out how to do like creative without me. And that was like my favorite part, but that's not what happened. And like, it was so nice to like see that I was still needed creatively for a lot of the things that we do. And so I feel like that's never going to go away. When you hire, you're just going to feel more inspired and you're going to like, it's going to like inspire more ideas. And it's so helpful to have this like creative team. Now I have a, you know, my brand director, my art director, my social media director, then there's me, and together the four of us, like, all we do is come up with creative and we all bounce off each other. Then like we take the idea to the next level and you'll see that like you still get to do all of those things. But now it's like all of those things on crack.
Yeah.
And it's of course. Like so fun.
Yeah. I think like actually executing, like I had to make a lookbook and I'm not a graphic designer and I spent hours. I was up until like 2 a.m. creating this like beautiful wholesale lookbook for us and taking new shots for the lookbook and like just it's so many things. I literally on Sunday woke up being like, oh my God, I'm gonna take new photos for the Instagram at like 7 a.m.
But that's how you know that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Like this this guy, this student, a friend of mine's son who goes to USC is in an entrepreneurship class and wanted to interview me, and he was like asking me like the mindset of being an entrepreneur, and I was like, you have to like, it is not easy. It's not easy to be an entrepreneur. It's not easy to shut off. You're constantly thinking, not every day. Like everyone has this glorified version that being an entrepreneur means like money and success and being rich and famous. And like, that is not what it is. Being an entrepreneur, other than being a mother, is the hardest job, I think, in the world. Maybe being the 100%. President of the United States.
And it's just, maybe. It really is so difficult. It's also such an interesting industry because I feel like you really have no idea who is actually doing well. Because it's like people can look like they're doing amazing from the outside, or people can look like they're doing like meh from the outside, but then they're actually absolutely killing it. Like, I think it's just so interesting because it's once you have a little bit of success, keeping that success up is so difficult. And there's just so many ups and downs. And you constantly have to be reinventing yourself and reinventing how you're doing everything to like stay fresh. And it's just
100%. But you have to give yourself, I don't know what credit, or if you don't give yourself credit, I don't know. But you have to give yourself credit because listening to the things that you handle and how well you're handling it, I mean, I am fully impressed. I could not do that. I'm telling you right now, I could not handle the amount of things that you do.
Well, thanks. We try. I'm doing a lot. But and then I'm at Fashion Week running around like a crazy person going to every single event. But like, I think this year it's also been so interesting because prior to this year, I really didn't have that many other brand founder friends. I had a lot of influencer friends. And there was a really long period of time where I was like so down on myself because I felt like all of my friends were really growing as an influencer and I was kind of like really growing slow and I didn't feel like I was where I wanted to be. But I've always kind of felt like that's not even my number one skill set. Like, I feel like I love designing products. I love working on my brand. And this year, getting to connect with other brand founders has been so, so inspiring and so helpful. Like, even just listening to your podcast, I listen to your podcast. Literally, I've listened to every single episode, some of them twice. Like, it's just so helpful. I think being able to connect with people, and people I feel like in the entrepreneur space are also so much more helpful towards each other. Like, oh, they share resources, and it's just so funny. Like, I have a friend, Lisa, who we're doing a co-branded partnership with, who runs Heavy Manners, and connecting with her this year has been so helpful for me because she's such an amazing designer. And it's just like inspired me to like really tap into my creativity as a designer more. And I'm like so much more proud of the collections we have coming out this, like at the end of, in the next like month, because I feel like I'm really becoming like a designer, you know? Like, I think I used to really look down on myself and never considered myself like a designer.
Imposter syndrome, probably.
Yeah, exactly. And now I'm like really starting to have this new confidence, and we're like expanding into other categories and really just kind of diving right into like doing everything that we want to do.
Well, if I've told you this before, and I will tell you guys, I mean, I'll tell you again, and Matt, who I'm sure you'll tell also, but I'm always here to answer any questions. Allie, who's my VP of operations, and myself, we started this, like, we don't have a name for it yet, but it's like this entrepreneur group. It's in LA right now, but if it does expand, obviously I'll have you come into it, where we meet, I think it's once a month or it could be once a quarter, with like CEOs and entrepreneurs from all different areas. Like, the Mad Happy guys are in it, the founders of Array are in it, Crown Affairs, she just started this like insane hair care brand. I'm trying to think of who else.
I know Diana, she's in Miami.
Yeah. So we're, well, she's in it when she's in LA. So when you're in LA, you can come, but we do these dinners, and then it's going to like, you know, progress into panels where we get to bring like experts from all of our teams. Like, I would probably bring Casey to speak on social media, where there's no point in gatekeeping. It's like, we should all, there's room for everyone. And those people specifically, I mean, special shout out to the Mad Happy Boys, have been so helpful in mentoring me, that like, I also want to give what they gave to me, because it was so helpful. And there's no reason that like we need to like keep our secrets to ourselves. So anything you ever wanted to ask, like numbers, growth, what to hire, like flat out, like, can you just give me the answer? I'm happy to do it. But speaking of, okay, so that's really cool. I love Heavy Manners. I think that they are like, their prints, their swim, so flattering, so cool. I love everything that they do, so effortless. What's next for you other than that collab? Like, what's next for just your company that you're excited about?
So we have finally convinced Matt that we can expand into other categories. I think for a long time, we were kind of taking this like traditional approach to business of like, okay, we're a jewelry brand and let's just be jewelry and own the jewelry space. But I think we've kind of changed our mind when it comes to that, because I think for me, I love head to toe fashion. I love shoes. I love clothes. I love literally everything. So I think I have kind of planned out like a rollout that actually makes sense for the brand.
Can you like spill one secret?
So one hint is, it's something that we've already launched this summer that went really well. Huh. Do you know what it is? You definitely do.
Is it your sweatshirts?
No, no.
Is it the sunglasses?
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I mean, you posted that those sold out like wildfire. You're like, whoa.
No, it was wild. So, and I have so many other designs in my head that I've been wanting to do for a long time. So I think for the first like few years, we're going to keep it all like in it as accessories.
I love that.
And like our slogan since we launched has always been kind of like elevate the everyday. And I think since I love kind of like dressing minimally and then really adding really unique and cool, interesting accessories is kind of how I dress. I think that keeping it within accessories and kind of expanding under accessories makes the most sense.
Totally.
So I think that that's kind of like where we see the progression.
I'm so excited. I have a request to please do like plastic frames and like not just wire frames, because wire frames look horrible on me. But like,
I do. I designed some pretty epic plastic ones. Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so glad we're designing sunglasses just for me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure there's other people out there who feel the same way.
You still need some Oreos.
I know. I was just looking on your website the other day because I wanted to recreate this like Kendall Jenner look with her Bottega earrings and her like baseball hat. And you guys have the perfect chunky gold earrings. And I was like, I went directly to your website because I knew that you would have what I was looking for. So I need Orium badly. How do you want to scale the brand? Like, people always ask me, like, you're thinking about going wholesale. Would you ever have a flagship store? Like, what's your plan for scaling?
So I think it's so funny because when we first launched, we were on Revolve.
Yeah.
And that they were amazing partners, but we ended up not continuing to work with them. And I'm kind of glad that we did. And we had these crazy offers from massive wholesalers trying to stock Orium. But at the time we were just like, we really want to build our DTC. And I'm kind of glad we did. Maybe it was a mistake in hindsight, but who knows? I'm kind of glad, like, it's so much better to really hone in on your customer as a DTC brand and get to know them and like see what works and have more knowledge about your brand. And now we're like hoping, I want to keep whoever we do work with like very elevated, because our price point keeps kind of going up. We're like much more expensive than we were when we first launched because our pieces are just more intricate and better quality. So hopefully that works out. It's kind of easier. It's not that fast of a process, but we're kind of figuring out the direction that we want to go. We have another pop-up happening in October, but it's just one day.
Mm-hmm. SetActive's opening up their first pop-up that's a year long in LA on Melrose Place. So you guys should come pop up there and we can like come up with a cool activation.
Yeah, well, maybe we can like, yeah, pop up in Set.
Yeah, like at the store on Melrose Place. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I know. I'm excited to see your store. I'm excited for you and Leap.
Oh my God. I know Leap. We've sent them through like 6 different design iterations for the store because I am psychotic when it comes to like design and how the store and brand is coming off. And they finally were like, this is the last round we can do for you. Like, no more. I was like, okay. Then like we ended up doing another design. But that's just because I'm weird with how my brand is like portrayed. But I think we have it down now and I'm excited for people to see the concept. What is one piece of advice that you would want to leave with my listeners?
When it comes to being an entrepreneur, even just like anything in general, I feel like I've put so much emphasis on my mental health and my doing certain things that have completely changed my life. Like before Matt and I even started Orium, we both kind of got into this headspace of working out every day and writing in our journals and trying to be more clean. And like, we were just kind of on this journey of trying to become a better versions of ourselves in general. And I feel like if you're ever feeling stuck about like where you are or what to do next, like, I think just start with like improving yourself and you will end up opening up more opportunities for yourself. Getting into a better place of becoming the best version of yourself can really end up opening so many doors for other things that if you don't have it figured out now, like it can, if you start there, I think it can really help.
No, I think I love asking this question at the end of my podcast because like everyone's answer is always so different. And so I feel like me and my listeners were so lucky we get to walk away with like all of this advice, but that's definitely one of my favorite pieces of advice that I've heard. So I love that.
Listen to Lindsay's podcast. Literally, like, I think listening to podcasts helps so much too.
Yeah, totally. I wish I had more time to listen to other podcasts on top of Set and my own and being a mom and all of that. But I love that piece of advice. I thank you for joining me round 2. We did record once before, but our audio wasn't that great, so we had to re-record. And I honestly think this was an even better conversation than the first one. So I'm glad that we got to record again. It's been so nice having you. If you guys want to keep up with what Orium's doing next, I personally am very excited, one, to recreate my Kendall Jenner Bottega look, and two, because I want to see what sunglasses you guys do. But where can they find you personally, and where can they find Orium?
So my personal Instagram is Cass, CASSDIMICCO. And then Orium's Instagram is AURUM.collective.
Yay. Well, thank you so much for coming on round two. I loved the conversation.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to follow us on your podcast listening platform. Share your favorite moments with me on social media and tune in next week. Again, I'm your host, Lindsay Carter, and this is Ready, Set, Spill.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.